Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, 20 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Gary Boyce, and I want to touch on Adobe, a SaaS company, software as a service. I quite like the business. And then they make a deal announcement, and, well, they're down 20%. Matete Tolari, I'm looking for targets on the rand against the dollar and euro as we head into the last quarter of the year. Petri Radenhaes, Brent Oil, he's previously said 90, low 90s was a good buying place, but it keeps him, I want to get more details on that. Is that bull trend still intact in Brent? This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb: Lux Holdings to sell off Arthur Kaplan and the watch business. Yo, this was, remember, Taste Holdings. It used to be worth, I don't know, plus $4 billion. Now it's down to $70 million, and all's left is Natal Wholesale Jewelers. Business Day: SA's saving pool is shrinking. CISA stats show both life and unit trust assets have declined in the past 6 months, thanks in part to markets, but also rise of cost of living, people taking money out of their investments. Morning markets, green across the board. In the US, S&P up 0.7, NASDAQ up 0.75%. Asia, we've got Sydney up 1.2 and Tokyo 0.4% higher. Commodities, gold, 1,685. Brent, 92.22. Platinum, 917. Palladium, 2,178. Rand, 1,769. Bitcoin, 19,200. We've got Tencent up 2.2% in Hong Kong. And top 40 opening call, 430 points to the upside. That is almost 0.75%.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Gary Boyson, portfolio manager at Rand Swiss. Gary, appreciate the early morning time. Adobe, a stock I've used their services for a long time. I used to buy their extremely overpriced software. More recently, of course, they've moved to software as a service. I've been using that. Their results last week, I thought, weren't bad, but they came out with an announcement they're going to be buying Figma for some $20-odd billion. Their market cap, what, about 140 billion. So it's about 15% of market cap. Market hated that news. Is this opportunity, is this a stock that you think has got merit?
I think it does to an extent. So to say Adobe is a fairly robust business is a massive understatement. You know, if you look at what Adobe has done, you know, essentially since Adobe Systems created the PDF in 1993, it's nothing short of spectacular. You look at their earnings profile, you look at their revenue profile. You know, they managed to grow consistently, a very profitable, very cash generative business. But you know, looking at that deal, I think everyone is criticizing it, saying, you know, to pay $20 billion for a company that was only a year ago valued at $10 billion in 2022 is a little bit excessive. A lot of people criticizing it and saying you're paying 2022 prices, at least 2021 prices in 2022, and this is not the world where you have to pay up for tech. But I think there were a number of good reasons for the deal, and Adobe is a very strong business that because of its scale and because of its size needs to do deals like this to continue to advance its top line and its bottom line.
Yeah, and I like the point you made there, pay up for tech. It is, I mean, just a year ago, markets were peaking, the NASDAQ and S&P had a brilliant 2021, and suddenly we were in a whole fundamentally different place. And you seem to be suggesting that this isn't perhaps a blip, that perhaps tech is going to have a period of, I don't know, low growth, lower valuations.
I don't know if you're going to have lower growth. So if you look at the underlying growth of Figma specifically, I mean, their growth even over the last year has been absolutely spectacular. And the idea that these companies aren't going to grow just because they're tech, I don't think is correct. Mm. You know, if you're looking at kind of the fundamental metrics, I mean, revenue is going to increase, earnings are going to increase. And I think we can not be assured of that, but I think that'll be pretty stable. Most of the big unwind that you've seen in Adobe over the last bit has actually just been price falls based on, I suppose, people being unwilling to pay up for future growth because of high interest rates, because of macroeconomic factors. And if you look at, if you take Adobe all the way out, say, 20 years, you can see that the price earnings ratio has come down, you know, dramatically.
Yeah.
In in the last year or so. I mean, the stock is down 50% and the earnings are largely unaffected. I mean, sure, this deal is only going to be earnings accretive in 3 years' time, but their fundamental software as a service business is strong. They have, you know, their annualized recurring revenue. These are subscriptions that aren't going to be canceled. Yeah, maybe you'll get a couple canceled, but largely these are very entrenched systems in people's businesses. And those earnings and that revenue is fairly secure. So what you have is Adobe currently trading on a historic P/E of around 20. That puts you back at about the price you're paying in earnings terms at about 2013 at the bottom of the 2008-2009 global financial crisis. You could have gotten Adobe, you know, on certain days at around a 10 or 11 P/E, but that was for a very, very brief a period of time with a lot of market panic. So I'm definitely not saying that Adobe, you know, if we go into a very, very panicky, very fearful market, you could easily lose another 50% on Adobe. Is Adobe the kind of business that is going to go under? Absolutely not. Absolutely. I cannot see that happening. And buying it at essentially, you know, half the price that you were getting it a year ago, I think, you know, there's merit to that. And obviously, you guys don't like the Figma deal. I mean, it's a big deal for them. Their previous largest deal was in 2018 for Marketo Inc., which was around $4.5 billion. This is a 20, so it is significantly larger. But at the same time, they've taken a competitor out of the market. They are a tech company. And yes, the market doesn't like tech companies at the moment. But tech companies and Adobe, by its nature, has to go and buy out these little competitors. And if they can't develop that innovative edge inside the company, they buy it. That's how tech companies work, especially when you're dealing with one of the largest software companies in the world. You know, they buy the IP. They buy the most successful companies into their stable. That company then leverages the networks that Adobe has to scale their business much more rapidly. And sure, you know, looking at Figma, it's got a 400 billion, at least a 400 million ARR at the moment, which doubled from last year. But where is that going to be in 3 or 4 or 5 years when it can sit within Adobe's network? I think a lot higher. So then suddenly paying 50 times its revenue, looks like 25 times its revenue next year, and maybe only 10 times its revenue the year afterwards. So altogether, maybe the market overreacting, maybe not. I mean, it does look very expensive as a deal, but you know, sub $300 a share on Adobe, I think probably worth having a nibble.
Yeah, certainly at those rates, I take your point. We're getting an opportunity here in the Figma deal. Yeah, market might not like it, but it'll move past that, and maybe it is a little overpaying. You're getting Adobe really cheap. Gary Boyson, Portfolio Manager at Rand Swiss, appreciate the early morning.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Matete Tulari. He's head FX execution at RMB. Matete, appreciate the early morning. A hard question for the early morning. Folks have been, you know, a couple of people I know are looking to travel later this year, going overseas. They want to know, should they be getting currency now? Is it going weaker? What are you and your colleagues looking for dollar and euro against ZAR as we head into the end of the year in the last quarter?
Good morning, Simon. I suppose it's a case of, is the heightened uncertainty at this point in time to be the new norm? Because I think if anything, you know, there's renewed rand weakness and the pressure is too much for the rand. I mean, if you just look at the CPI print last week from the US, obviously inflation remains elevated. It looks like the Fed is going to go to 4.5%, you know, in terms of interest rate increases. That number just less than 2 months ago was about 3.25% that, you know, the market was expecting. So it shows you that there's a proper repricing in markets. And I mean, as has been the case in recent years, you know, we began this year expecting an improvement in global conditions that would have supported the continued economic recovery in South Africa. But this hasn't been the case. I mean, there's been a number of factors, both locally and obviously from an offshore perspective. I mean, the outbreak of the war out in Eastern Europe, the rising inflation leading to sharper global financial conditions. You've seen China's zero COVID policy obviously also knocking down global growth numbers. And obviously, I think even what's also been quite interesting is the fact that even now, this coming week, we've got the SARB also expected to raise interest rates by another 75 basis points, and then obviously another 50 basis points in November. That's our expectations before they remain stable throughout 2023. So there's quite a few things that we really need to look at, as you say, into the close of the year. I mean, as I said, there's the Fed meeting that's taking place tomorrow evening. Already there's expectations that they might go to 75. If they do, there's some murmurs about another, call it 1% increase there. That would obviously be really tightening and obviously quite scary to markets. And I think that would really make the dollar even stronger. On Thursday, you have the SARB, and obviously they'll be taking their guidance from what Jerome Powell and the guys do. Also, the two eyes that we keep speaking about, inflation and the interest rate outlook globally, ECB and also the Fed and also the SARB, that's going to be quite interesting. The global growth situation, is it really going to deteriorate? The geopolitical tension out in Russia and Ukraine. And then don't forget, I mean, this is also a year where we're repeating what happened 5 years ago with Ramaphosa. Already we've got the ANC's elective conference taking place in the last quarter of this year. And, compounded by that, and something that we're not looking at, and I think markets are discounting the fact that we've also got the ratings review that is also going to come into the close of the year from Fitch, Moody's, and S&P. And obviously, this is an especially in light of the prolonged power cuts that we've seen over the past couple of weeks. And I think that's really going to obviously impact growth in South Africa. So from a rand matching perspective, 1764 is where we forecasting to close on euro rand, and then obviously on dollar rand, we're thinking at 1680. But anything is possible in these markets. I mean, we've seen how this year has played itself out. And if there is anything that is obviously a black swan, has been the geopolitical tension and COVID over the past 2 years. So if anything, if there's any curveball that comes through and we obviously see any sort of uncertainty and negativity, then potentially we could be at 18 very soon.
Yeah, okay. So maybe a little stronger, but there's, I take your point. The litany of things that could go wrong, that list just goes on and on and on. And those are the risks out there. Mateta Tulari, Head FX Execution, RMB, appreciate the time. And that's our question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter poll. What are you looking for the currency? Mateta says it could go a little bit stronger, but the risks are there. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanley Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with our Petri Rodenhuis, Herenia Capital. Petri, appreciate the time. We chatted back in August. Brent was in the low 90s, and you said, yep, this is a support zone, time to be some buying. And boom, I mean, there we were, went to $104, spot on. But it keeps on edging weaker, and I'm looking at the chart, and certainly from mid-year, which is a short period, I take that. We're seeing lower highs, we're seeing lower lows. Is the Brent bull perhaps fading, or is there still that low 90, the zone to perhaps pick up positions?
Good morning, Simon. And the truth is, I don't know, man. Oil is hanging on by a thread here. I mean, even yesterday, it managed to reverse a little bit and trade off of the $90 level. So currently trading at, what, 92?
Yeah.
Bottomed out last week sometime at 87-ish. So it's holding on for dear life at this level. And, it is, to your point, it is on a longer-term support level here. So if we look, there's two different types of support that it's kind of testing here. One is the trend line support, which very technically it has broken through. And the other is a horizontal support at this $87.25 level, or $87.25, which was resistance in October of 2021, which is now acting as a bit of support. So for now, I would remain cautious. Well, I do remain cautiously bullish. But if we see $87.25 or $87 a barrel break, then potentially I would say we have, we're in for some more downside. However, unless that level breaks and we continue to hold the support level here, I think we probably hold. There are two very strong forces that are head to head with oil at the moment. Mm-hmm. One is, the realities of inflation-led global slowdown, right? The higher inflation goes, the higher interest rates are going to go, the more pressure that's going to put on economic growth, and we're more than likely going to see a bit of a global recession scenario, which isn't necessarily it's going to be bad, but it's not necessarily the worst thing for the next 20 or so years, right? Every now and then the market needs to kind of shake out the weak hands, if you want to put it that way. So that is obviously a bearish force on, demand for energy. So we've got this inflation-led global recession narrative, which is bad for growth and all the rest, and that is making the market expect that while oil demand will be lower if there is a global inflation. But on the other hand, you've got like an active real-time energy crisis happening in Europe right now, right?
Yeah.
Well, these are two immensely powerful and opposite forces sort of going head to head with one another. And at the moment, it's a bit of a battle and we don't really know. And I'll be honest with you, it doesn't really make sense to me that we see, energy prices where they are, particularly for the end consumer in Europe. But we're not seeing that. And also, to be fair, there are rolling blackouts in parts of America as well.
Yeah.
And yet it's not reflected in the price of oil. So there's at the same time you have the U.S. government that's releasing strategic reserves. I think they released the largest amount of oil from their strategic reserve ever in history about a week or so ago. So they're doing everything they can from a political sort of perspective to try and contain the oil price. I don't think it should be down here. That's my two cents. The market is right. I am not because it is down here. So I guess we'll see. So for now, if I want to be very technical about it, 87.25, below that, the bullishness might need to come to an end. If we can hold that level, then stay bullish.
Okay, 87.25. And what I do note with Brent in particular is that it goes down. I mean, yesterday it was at 89, and then suddenly every morning I wake up, it's moved higher. It's just, there certainly seems to be some strong buying as we see weakness during the course of the day. Petri Redenhuis, Heronia Capital Advisors, appreciate the early morning. Of course, if we put those two together, and Mateta's right, and we do see some actual strengthening down to 16.80 for the dollar, he was saying, and maybe that 87.25 breaks, well, then we've got cheaper petrol prices just in time for Christmas. That's it for today. We're chatting with Gavin Lubin yesterday around evaluating your financial advisor and what metrics do we use. And we asked you how you rate your financial advisor. Over half of you who voted said, nope, you don't have one at all. A fifth said they were doing really, really great. And then the rest split between average and poor, with average just sort of coming ahead. And I got to say, aside from very few, half of you not having, generally it seems that you are broadly happy. Either they're doing great, they're doing average. Not many of you saying that your financial advisor is useless, which is, well, if they are, I suppose the short answer is, fire them. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're talking with Justin Smith. We're going to be looking at how the manufacturing sector fends off Stage 6.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.